Well, I want to invite you to pray with me as we get started. Jesus, it is so good to be in this place together. It is so good to worship you. We are grateful, God. Today, Lord, as we look at your story and our own lives, I pray that we would find you in the midst. I pray that we would remember that you are at work in this building and in our communities. So Jesus, be with us today. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to start today by sharing with you maybe a sort of confession and an unpopular opinion that I have held. Now, I've changed my mind, so that's the only reason I'm comfortable telling you this unpopular opinion. But I've held this until very recently, and I know what I'm about to say. Some of you are very passionate about this topic. I know that you're passionate about it because there are whole social media groups devoted to this topic. Some of you even visit this establishment multiple times a week. But until recently, I absolutely could not stand shopping at Aldi. Where are my Aldi people at? Just, oh, yeah, like the hands went up so fast. So, I know some of you love Aldi, and the deals are great, and you tell me it's the same product as Trader Joe's and all of that. I get it, but for so long, I could not bring myself to go to Aldi because I'd been a couple times, and I got to tell you, like, you walk in, and I just want to choose where I go in the store. Like, I do not want to be directed into the bread aisle immediately. So, I didn't like that. I didn't like that you had to bring a quarter to use the cart. I don't have my life together like that to be that prepared. So Aldi was just not happening for me. But then I was at Zach, my husband's parents' house, and we're having like a little charcuterie situation. It was great. There was wine, there was cheese, and one of the cheeses had pepperoni in the cheese. Oh, I said, people know about this pepperoni cheese. Okay, I had never experienced this cheese before, and I was like, it's like pizza in cheese form. This is amazing. And so I said, Cheryl, to my mother-in-law, I said, where did you get this amazing cheese? And you know what she said back to me? Yeah, she said, Aldi. And I was so mad. But I needed this cheese in my life. And so I said, okay, I'm going to make my way to Aldi. And I have to tell you, when I went back, I was humbled. I was humbled because not only did I find the pizza cheese that changed my life, but I found these knockoff Sorel winter boots for 10 bucks. And I will also admit to you, while we're being honest, this is a safe space, I would tell people that would compliment those boots, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I got these at Aldi. Like, I was an Aldi shopper. It was a lie. But so I'm sorry if any of you have been tricked by my boots and my Aldi love. But going back to Aldi then, it changed my mind about what a place could be, about what we could find. And as I experienced this new side of Aldi, what I realized is sometimes glory can be found in unlikely places where we least expect it. So that's what we're talking about today. Not only how do we find glory in unlikely places, but maybe even how we find glory and God at work in some of the hard places in our lives. Maybe it's places where we've had pain or trauma or where we need to heal. How can God show up there? So last week, Pastor Javon actually preached at North Indy, and he gave us a definition for glory. And I want to share that with you today because glory is one of those words that feels very abstract, kind of churchy. Like, what do we mean when we talk about glory? So this is the definition he gave us. It says, glory is the visible manifestation of the presence or attributes of God. So when we talk about glory, that's what we mean. And we're going to be talking about glory couched in this church season of Advent. Now, I think it's a perfect time to talk about that because Advent is a season that is all about waiting on, looking for, and hoping to see God's presence show up in the world. And I absolutely love Advent because besides the fact that we get to decorate for Christmas and you can listen to Christmas music without getting judged, I started in November, it's fine, but this is the season for it. So I love that about Advent. But what I love the most about Advent is it's a church season that feels the most relatable to me because it is a season where we see that life was hard and Jesus showed up. Now, I think if we're not careful, we can really romanticize what Christmas is about. You know, we can think that it was just perfect and precious, but really the world that Jesus came into was really messy, just like ours. Now, it was a different context. I mean, it's a different time and a different culture. But when I read the story of what Jesus came into, it actually doesn't seem that far off from what we're living today. I mean, there was political tension, there was racial divide, there was poverty and inequity, there was all of that stuff, and still, Jesus decided to show up. And just so we're clear, the stable did not look like this. It did not. Now, some of you might have this in your home. I'm not hating. I'm not judging here. But I just need us to know that the stable, the manger, it wasn't this perfect. Not a single part of this story would have ended up in precious moments. When God decided to show up in human form, God bypassed all of that, all of the preciousness, all of the perfection, and God showed up in the mess, the vulnerability, the pain, the real stuff that makes up our lives. And when God did that, it happened like that absolutely on purpose. It wasn't an accident that this is how Jesus chose to make his entrance. This is how God showed up, because sometimes God's glory shows up in unexpected places. I mean, you think of all the ways that this could have happened, that Jesus could have been born. He could have been born in a palace. It could have been really fancy and significant and notable. But that's not how this story went. Instead, God showed up in the dirt. God showed up in the mess. God showed up in the awkward and insignificant place like a stable. And so as we think about where God shows up in the Christmas story, but also in our own lives, it makes me ask the question this Advent season. Where are we looking for glory? Where are you looking for glory? How do you expect and hope that God is going to show up and act in your own life? Henry Nouwen is one of my favorite theologians. I don't know if you've read any of his stuff, but it is just beautiful, beautiful theology. And his story is so interesting because he was a Catholic priest who at one point was living what I would call his best theological life. Now, maybe some of you don't think about your best theological life, but I do. So I look at Henry Nouwen's life and it's like, wow, he had a dream job. He was on the faculty at Harvard Seminary, so one of the most prestigious, wealthiest institutions in the country. He was a professor there. Everything looked perfect. But he found that in the midst of that perfect job, all he wanted was out. All he felt was empty. And where he found himself and God again was a place that he never would have thought to look. It was a community called L'Arche, and L'Arche is a community for people, for disabled adults, and he became the pastor there, living daily with these people that the rest of the world had just really pushed aside and had no place for. And in his book, The Road to Daybreak, he talks about this journey that he went on leaving Harvard and going to L'Arche. So I want to share with you an entry from this book. It really is like he published his own journals, and he talks about something that happened at the beginning of this journey. So he says, during evening prayer, we sang simple songs and listened to Danny, one of the disabled men from Cork, as he prayed. As he prayed, he said, I love you, Jesus. I do not reject you even when I get nervous once in a while, even when I get confused. I love you with my arms, my legs, my head, my heart. I love you and I do not reject you, Jesus. I know that you love me so much. I love you too, Jesus. Now he goes on to say, as he prayed, I looked at his beautiful, gentle face. Who would not respond to a prayer like that? I suddenly felt the deep desire to invite all my Harvard students to sit with me in that circle. Men and women I had tried to speak to about Jesus and had often failed to touch. I wanted so much for all of them to let Danny tell them about Jesus. You know, Henry Nouwen had understandably been looking for Jesus to show up in a place that it made perfect sense. He was in one of the best seminaries in the country. They're reading scripture and talking theology day after day. But it wasn't until he left that place and went somewhere unexpected that Jesus actually could be found. And I wonder sometimes if our disappointment that we experience, our difficulty in seeing how God works, is wrapped up in just what we're looking for and where we're looking for it. Because we think we know how God should work, we think where God should show up, and sometimes we decide that God can't even do that. And that's actually the challenge I think we find in Jesus' whole life story. Because from beginning, from birth, to the end with his death, nothing looked the way that you would have thought it would have gone. In one of the scriptures that we read today, coming from the book of John, it actually comes from a conversation that's happening late into Jesus' life. It's one that we would traditionally read during the Lenten season, not even during Advent. Jesus says to his disciples, "The time has come for the human one to be glorified." And when we hear him talking about himself like that, when you hear that term of glory, remember what it means, we might think, okay, so something good's going to happen to him, or maybe he's talking about going to heaven and what that'll be like. But it turns out that's not what Jesus is talking about at all. That's not the way that this scripture works. Instead, what Jesus is talking about here is the cross. Now, for us hearing this scripture in our context, that's pretty weird to think about. But I want you to imagine for a second what it would have been like to hear that scripture as someone in Jesus' time. Because for someone in Jesus' time, a cross wasn't something that you wore around your neck. It wasn't something that we had in our churches or in our homes. A cross at that time was part of their everyday life that they saw for people being executed by the government. Let that sink in. A cross was a place where criminals went, where outcasts were put, where enemies of the government was. It was nothing to do with glory. So the idea that Jesus would tie glory to a cross, how would that even be possible? I think it's possible because it's the same way that God found glory in a stable. It's the same way that God found glory in these simple beginnings of Jesus's life. I think it's the same way that we find God's glory in our own lives when things are hard. You know, I can't tell you with all honesty that I understand how God always works in the hard times. I don't even know if I can tell you I always believe it when I'm in that hard time. But when I read scripture, when I see Jesus' story, when I think about my own life, when I hear your stories of how God has shown up, that's how I know that it's true. That's how I know that's how God works. You know, another scripture that we looked at was from 2 Corinthians, and this is a writing that Paul is sending to a church. And when Paul says, "Our temporary minor problems are producing an eternal stockpile of glory for us that's beyond all comparison," I want you to hear that scripture and understand that this isn't coming from someone with what I would call an overly optimistic life view. I don't know if you've read Paul, but Paul had some really hard things happen to him. He watched his friends suffer. He was put in prison. If nothing else, he had to live with the own weight of his conscience of things he had done before he encountered Jesus. That was Paul's life. But I think if you ask Paul if God had been working in his life, he would have said without a doubt, yes. And I think if you pushed on that a little bit and said, okay, Paul, well, when? I don't think he would have given you the highlight reel. I don't think he would have drawn from the times that he had success or life was easy. I think Paul would have said, when life got hard, that's when I saw God show up. So I'm curious for you, can you think of a time when that's been true in your own life? When life got hard, God showed up. I want to be clear as we talk about this, because this is when we get into like tricky theological waters together. I'm not standing here telling you that everything happens for a reason or any kind of theological statement like that, because I don't think that's very helpful when we go through struggles. I also don't think it's very true. Sometimes hard things happen and they're just hard and we can't explain them. But what I do want to push us today is to see how God's working in those hard spaces. Because what's really easy for me to find in my own life and in the hard things that have happened to me, what's easy to find is resentment. that doesn't take a lot of effort to find, right? Like, we can find reasons to be upset. We can find reasons to be angry or bitter. But I think the invitation that God has for us is to find something deeper, to find God's glory, even in the middle of things that seem impossible. I don't know if you've heard of Mary McLeod Bethune, but she was someone who was really familiar with trying to find God's glory in the midst of impossible circumstances. So she was the daughter of formerly enslaved people, and she eventually became a notable civil rights leader, a notable women's rights leader. She was an advisor to President Franklin Roosevelt. Like, she had a lot of success in life. But getting there did not come easily. When she was 29 in 1904, she founded what will become Bethune-Cookman University. And now, founding a university sounds very highbrow to me. It's very fancy, very special. But I want to lay out how she got to that point. So she wanted to found this university, and in the town that she wanted to do it, there was one piece of land available to her, the town dump. It was called Hell's Hole by the local people. This one piece of land is what she had. And even having that land that no one wanted, she had to fundraise herself in order to buy it. And as she reflected on what it was like to get started, she said, "I haunted the city dump in trash piles behind hotels, retrieving discarded linen and kitchenware, cracked dishes, broken chairs, pieces of old lumber. Every single thing was scoured and mended. This was part of the training, to salvage, to reconstruct, to make bricks without straw." Now, she ended up being a college president for 20 years, and every year at graduation, she told her students the same thing. She said, "Faith ought not to be a puny thing. If you believe, have faith like a giant, and may God grant you not peace, but glory." May God grant you not peace, but glory. So as I was listening to our Advent reading today, I thought, what kind of peace is she talking about here? Because we talk about peace a lot during this season. We talk about the peace of Christ in our hearts. I think what she's talking about here is a superficial peace, a peace that sort of backs up from the real life stuff that we go through, a peace that tries to be in denial about what's happening in the world, or doesn't fight for injustice, or kind of holds people at arm's length because we might have our hearts broken. I think that's the kind of peace that she means. And I don't know about you, but that's not the kind of life that I want. I want that kind of glory where God shows up even when it feels impossible. I want the kind of faith that has to look to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I believe you're working, even if I can't see what's going to happen next." So in this Advent season, I don't know where you are in your faith. I don't know what your story looks like. I don't know what you're looking for. But my prayer is that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're looking for with God, my prayer is that you would remember that so long ago, a little baby showed up in a place that made absolutely no sense. A baby showed up in the mess, in the instability, in the confusion. And that's where God's glory came to light. Will you pray with me? God, we are thankful for the ways that you show up, in ways that we often can't expect, in ways that we can't always understand. But God, you are there. So help us, Lord, this Advent to see you, to maybe look in different places, and to believe that you are at work. Amen.